I was going to tell you about the clocks on Olo. Just kidding. There are no clocks on Olo. Ololians tell time by the daylight. They gauge mealtimes by when they feel hungry. They know it's bedtime when they're sleepy. They do have something that looks like a clock tower in the castle. There's no clock, just a chime. The bells ring to announce things, but the main reason it's there is because people like the sound of it. They announce festivals and parties. It's more of a celebration than an announcement. As I've mentioned before, there are no schools or churches. That means there are no weddings or graduations either. One day, Flash went down to the courtyard for no particular reason. He just went down from his room high in the castle because he enjoyed being there. He never knew who he might see, and if no one was around, he could sit and watch whatever stories the holograms happened to be projecting. It was a quiet day, and Flash enjoyed a steaming drink. The story of an artisan creating stone tools was displayed in the cool air. Of course, these were Ololian rocks, so the tools were made from topaz, sapphire, chrysoberyl, and diopside. The chips of mineral flew off in flashes of colored light. The bells chimed above him, enhancing the colorful scenes. The bells coincided with the striking of the stones, sounding like the ringing of the crystals being built into structures out on the plain. After a bit, Uli came out of the door at the base of the tower. His eyes met Flash's, and they smiled at each other. "What are the bells announcing today?" Flash asked. "Ada thought she had lost her yucca," Uli explained, "but it only rolled under the bed." "That's a relief," Flash said, and celebrated with her in his heart. People came and went through the main castle gate, and the stories depicted in the holograms changed. One scene morphed into another. This was not at all like television or movie screens. Everything was three-dimensional, and different characters might appear in opposite ends of the courtyard, populating the entire space. The characters might approach you and interact with you. It took some experience to differentiate the projected figures from the flesh and blood ones. Whenever Flash was in doubt, he would look for the darkest tones, as these areas tended to show the background through them more than the lighter or more saturated hues. A story began about the work on the museum. The bells in the tower provided sound effects for the component crystals being built into walls, and Flash thought about the construction of the castle itself, and particularly the wall in his bedroom. Bucket would have loved to be part of that construction project. You couldn't tell what images these new walls might project. Even the builders didn't know what the gems would show. They just placed them how they fit together. Orange circles began raining down onto the amethyst floor of the courtyard, bouncing and slowly becoming spherical. They changed from discs into balls and continued to develop into pumpkins in celebration, one could assume, of the coming agricultural wing of the museum. The pumpkins on Olo grow really big. The C. maxima variety contained the largest pumpkins on Earth, but the biggest of them would be dwarfed by an Ololian pumpkin. Several people lived inside pumpkin shells on Olo. One roasted seed would feed a whole table of people. The meat from the seed would be carved the way a hotel chef might carve a beef roast. The pumpkins would dream about how their rind would be carved. This was not scary to them at all. Some would get faces, some would get windows and doors. After they were carved, their shell would dry, becoming hard and durable. They would leave the pumpkin patch to experience a whole new life on Olo. Mommy and Daddy pumpkins would sing lullabies to their blossoms and tell them stories about Mr. Pumpkinhead's adventures. They dreamed big dreams, and I think this contributed to their huge size.